Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into another episode of Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
No Kyle Powell. He's unfortunately busy today. So here we are, WGR550.com, on-demand audio, your podcast day. It's Thursday. And what the hell else do we talk about other than we start off with Coach Watch.
Coach Watch.
Coach Watch. So it was yesterday, right, Elliot Friedman?
Yes.
Yesterday, Elliot Friedman.
Or Tuesday, I think.
Oh, Tuesday, right. So it was not Monday.
Not Monday.
Not Monday, the last time we spoke. Elliot Friedman comes out and says,
Buffalo interviewed Dave Tippett for their head coaching job.
Arizona Coyotes coach of 8 seasons.
Yes. He also coached 6 seasons in Dallas. And I found that to be a very interesting name and a name that I really like.
I mean, it makes sense. He's had 2 extensive shifts in the NHL. He's had some relative success. I mean, he did get Arizona to the playoffs.
3 years in a row.
And if you can get Arizona in the playoffs, well,
one of those years they made it to the conference finals.
Maybe you're kind of worth your salt here as a coach in this league.
So yeah.
I'd be interested there with Dave Tippett. Another name that comes up is a name that we talked about as a decent possibility in Todd Richards.
Yeah, Richards has been mentioned too. I mentioned that on Monday that he was being interviewed. That was from John Shannon on Sportsnet. And there's still Jacques Martin's name still there, which, Rickard Gronberg, Swedish national coach, is being talked as well. And then they're also
legitimately might punch myself in the nose if we get Jacques Martin.
I hope not. And then there's
I hope not either. I wouldn't want to punch my nose.
Yeah.
And then that's what the Sabres would be doing, is just punching themselves in the face.
And then there's Sheldon Keefe, the Marley said coach, who
do you think Toronto would actually allow Buffalo permission to interview him?
I don't know. I don't know if they can. I think there's a clause in his contract that allows him to interview for a head coaching job somewhere else without permission. I don't know. I don't hold me to that. I don't know. I thought I read
If that's true, damn it, I need an agent.
Yeah.
I need that guy's agent in particular.
So the funny thing about that is Friedman did mention something like that in his 31 thoughts in the same piece from Tuesday. So I'm going to read it. Okay, Toronto, the number one thing the Maple Leafs are going to work on, eliminate the drama. In that market, it is unavoidable, but you can't pour gasoline on the fire. Much of that will be eased by the necessary roster decisions, since contracts are at the heart of so many public and private debates. The coach and GM have to figure out if their different philosophies allow them to continue together. If Buffalo or anyone else comes calling for Keefe, does that force Toronto to make a decision? There's speculation the Maple Leafs would add Keefe as an assistant if they lost DJ Smith or Jim Hiller. But that's like playing with, you know, Nigel Gerlerson or something. Something that explodes. And hope it doesn't explode.
I like explosions.
Yeah. Hiller has another year under contract, but there's few teams interested. There's also talk that Ottawa is interested in hiring DJ Smith as their head coach. My personal belief was that Mike Babcock returns the next season, but now I'm not sure. Let's just say, for argument's sake, the Buffalo has to speak to him. What happens? He's talking to Keefe.
Right.
What happens? Because if Toronto wants to add Sheldon Keefe to the assistant staff for Babcock, is that not immediately putting Babcock on the hot seat?
It is. And that puts drama into everything.
Yeah. So what does what do the Leafs do if, let's say, a team like Buffalo or Ottawa comes calling and says, "Hey, we want to talk to Keefe."
That is an interesting question. And, you know, Ottawa might be able to help dissipate some of that as well, with if they were to be interested in DJ Smith. If they were to interview him first, for example, and then say he gets hired, they could just go ahead and promote Keefe and go, "We lost an assistant coach, and we have a really good one here in Sheldon Keefe that can help you out." It's still your team, Mike, but, you know, not only are you a little put on notice, but
Ottawa does have permission to talk to DJ Smith. That is according to Friedman.
Right.
So Smith is in the mix for Ottawa, which there's also their AHL head coach, Troy Mann, in Belleville. And Jacques Martin's name is being mentioned in Ottawa as well.
Please, Ottawa, save us.
Along with
save
Columbus's,
us from ourselves.
Along with Columbus's assistant, Brad Shaw. And then there's Providence's head coach, Nate Lehman, who I think Chopin Bulldog mentioned earlier this week as well for Buffalo.
Paul Hamilton had it in his piece as well on WGR550.com.
Yeah, that's what. So, at least for Buffalo's sake, they should interview Keefe. And it does sound like Bottrell's taking this process very slowly, as we see, and that he's going to...
Which is strange, since how it all started.
Yeah.
With Todd McClellan, it looked like they were possibly looking to hire him right away, and it was like, do you want to actually like talk to other people first? And then they actually did. So... It was
I
an
think
interesting
McClellan,
start.
The McClellan thing came so quickly, and it seemed like it could happen because there were other teams that were interested in hiring him. So Buffalo wanted to at least get the dibs on and see if there was interest, which turned out to be no.
Right. So yeah, it was an interesting start to Coach Watch, but now you're seeing so many different faces and candidates possibly in the forefront.
And right now, Jacques Martin's the only one who's being looked at for another team. So it's almost like the Sabres can just pick someone. Like, is there another team that's calling for Sheldon Keefe?
Surprisingly, no.
No, there isn't. Is there any other? Do we know of any other teams calling Granberg? No. No one's calling Buffalo about Chris Taylor.
Right.
Do we know of any other teams calling for Richards, for Ty Richards? No. Do we know of any other teams calling for Tippett? The only thing we know about Dave Tippett is that he's actually working with the Seattle group right now as like an advisor. But he could still leave that and take a head coaching job if he wants to. And if Tippett doesn't get a job, he may very well be the first head coach of the Seattle expansion team.
Right. Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens here. But you bring up an interesting point that the other teams that don't have head coaches are not talking to a lot of the guys that the Sabres are linked to.
It also helps that, well, how many teams have head coaching vacancies right now? It seems like it's just Buffalo and Ottawa.
Right, because Vigneault was hired right away.
In Philly.
McClellan's
in L.A.
L.A.
Quinville's in Florida.
Quinville's in Florida. Chicago? Are they sticking around with?
I think so. There hasn't been any talk with Chicago, at least that's what we've heard.
Yeah, because they had an interim at the end throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I think they're going to keep him.
Hmm. I mean, you'd probably guess that St. Louis is going to keep Berube after their playoff run.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like. St. Louis is the only other. They're likely gonna.
The way that he helped write that ship a little bit. And he's also busy right now. Their team's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that would be a little wacky. But everything like that is, it's like you said, Otto's really not after a lot of those guys. So it makes it interesting. Now, Friedman had mentioned another name in there.
Edmonton's the only other team, by the way, that I could think of. Because I don't think Hitchcock's coming back.
All right.
But they're also looking for a GM first.
Yeah.
So I think they want to get that sorted first.
Of course.
So, makes sense.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to do, and there's a lot of interesting ways to go about this, but Buffalo needs to make sure they come out with the right guy.
Yeah, they do.
And I really do not want Jacques Martin to be what Botchell thinks that guy is.
I hope not.
That would be genuinely awful.
Every other candidate that's been mentioned is a better candidate.
Yes. So there it is. But there's another name that was mentioned by Friedman throughout all of this that kind of raises some eyebrows, right?
For Sabres wise, yeah. He did do a little thing too about Ristolainen.
Rasmus Ristolainen.
So
what about Ristol? What's Ristol got to do with all this?
Here's what he wrote. Zach Bogosian's hip surgery could change the Sabres' plans for Rasmus Ristolainen. We've mentioned on the 31 Thoughts podcast rumblings that Buffalo and Tampa Bay seriously considered a Ristolainen deal and planned on revisiting it. That was the report from...
That's right.
The trade Strickland. Deadline with Strickland, yeah.
Andy Strickland.
Yeah. And since nothing came about of that, the first thing I thought is they're probably going to talk in the summer.
Yeah, because there was a lot of cap surgery they would have to do to fit Ristolainen
exactly.
in there. And to do it at a deadline deal would have been some magical stuff.
But another team that poked around him thinks GM Jason Botchell is asking candidates how they can work with Ristolainen and improve his game. I'm a big believer in that. Always easier to solve your issues instead of trading them if you can.
Oh.
My biggest thing is Zach Bogosian's hip surgery, which is going to keep him out for around 6 months.
Right. He might not start the season.
Might prevent the Sabres from trading Ristolainen in the summer.
Yeah. That's
because if they trade Ristolainen, who's going to be in that top four for the right-handed shooters? After Brandon Montour.
Bah.
The first guy you would think of is Casey Nelson.
Mm.
And I don't think you want to put him in that
role. He's a fine bottom pairing guy.
Yeah. If it's going to be within the system, it's either Casey Nelson or probably Will Borgen.
I mean,
I wouldn't hate the idea. I wouldn't hate Will Borgen.
But that could easily backfire.
Yes.
Because he could prove to not be ready.
Yeah. They might want to keep him in Rochester another year.
Now, my other thing is this. I don't know if Rasmus Ristolainen can be that guy in Buffalo anymore. It's probably easier to fix your problems rather than trade them, but sometimes you have to cut bait while there's value.
At this point, it seems Ristolainen has too many bad habits that he shows when he's on the ice for the Sabres. That he makes the same mistakes every night, every game.
It's all up there. It's not talent-wise. It's
not talent-wise. He's a top-four defenseman in this league.
And it's generally not even in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
It's always in his own end.
But he makes so many different mistakes, the same mistake every single game, that at some point you just got to give him that fresh start and see if another team can... The coaching staffs in Buffalo have been trying to fix him since he got in the league. And it just does not seem to be working. So at some point, you got to just say, all right, we got to give him a fresh start. We'll trade him to another team. We'll get something back. And then hopefully for him, he can get better for himself.
Exactly. It's rough. And, yeah, that Bogosian hip surgery probably does throw a wrench in everything.
It throws a huge wrench.
But at the same time, moving forward, is Zach Bogosian part of the team's long-term plans?
No, but I think I think Bogosian fits more into that. He's a filler top-four defenseman until a guy like Will Borgen is ready. Because think about this. If you... if Bogosian doesn't have his hip surgery and he's going to be, you know, good going into next year's training camp, you trade Ristolainen. Your top three right, your top three right-handed shooting defensemen are Brandon Montour, Zach Bogosian, Casey Nelson. With guys like Will Borgen and Casey Fitzgerald in the up and coming. Fitzgerald's about to go into his rookie year in Rochester next year. Will right. Borgen has already done year one.
But what about
Will Borgen will be the logical option as because Bogosian's only got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah.
He's a UFA after next year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you let it, so you let Bogosian walk, you have a guy you could just put in right there in Will Borgen. And I think that was what their plan was going to be.
Honestly?
But now with Bogosian being hurt, it throws a wrench into that because now you don't have anyone to fill that role if you trade Ristolainen.
What about Rasmus Dahlin?
That depends on where they see him. Do they see him as the guy on the left side or do they think they could put him on the right side? And
because that was a Phil Housley problem. Remember?
Yeah, but that's a coaching thing.
He was the guy that absolutely wanted three left, three right all the time.
Right.
They don't have that coach anymore.
They don't.
Can Dahlin play on the right side to at least help out with the rest of the situation?
The thing is, that Dahlin on the right side could just solve it altogether.
Exactly.
Like permanently, because they have a lot of good left-handed shooting defensemen already mm-hmm. with Dahlin, with Lawrence Pilot coming up, with Jake McCabe, and even got up-and-coming guys like Jacob Bryson and Brandon Hickey. So
I wouldn't really put Hickey too much into the. Too much
I say
up and
coming
that.
Because he's still young. He's still young.
I wouldn't
still,
put too much stock in Brandon Hickey being
no, no,
an
no.
answer for the top four, though.
No, not for the top four. But I'm saying just up and coming NHLers potentially.
Right.
Potential NHLers like Brandon Hickey might just top off as a 5'6", mm-hmm. but he's still a five. But that's still an NHL defenseman. That's what I'm looking at. Just NHL defenseman in general. So, moving the simple answer easily, if you trade Ristolainen and Bogosian's on IR, move Dahlin over to the right side.
So it sounds like either Bryson or Borgen might have to make a serious push. Pilot has to make the roster next year.
Yes.
For there to be a realistic chance to even trade Ristolainen.
You re-sign Jake McCabe, yeah. That seems to be it. But at the same time, too, it all depends on who the coach is.
It also depends on the return.
Yeah.
You can get a defenseman back. It's not a rule that you have to not get a defenseman
yeah,
back.
Yeah, that's true, too. And, yeah, then that all
you
depends.
You probably want to trade for some forward depth, but still, it's not like it's a set-in-stone rule.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an interesting part. But if you want to hire a coach to help out Rasmus Ristolainen, and if that's actually something that's being said and being thrown around, then, yeah, I don't see Rasmus Ristolainen getting traded this year.
Now there's also talks about PK Subban being traded this summer.
One for one. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Risto for PK. I'm in. Are you?
Of course I'd be in for that.
Let's do it.
All right.
The problem is that Mark Bergevin's not trading him this time.
No.
That's the bad news.
Yeah. For Nashville, what's being said is if they do trade PK Subban, it's for a forward. They want forward more. Because Nashville's biggest thing is we've heard the Subban
Ennis
rumors.
Weber
last,
and a third.
Stop. Stop it. We've heard the Subban rumors before. This year, it seems more likely.
What is with it? Why can't people just keep PK Subban?
I think the thing with Nashville though is, it's so dumb. I think it's cap related slash, they've got guys up and coming. I.e. Dante Fabro, they really like him, like because he's
why not Ryan Ellis? That man disappears every postseason. Why's he got to be PK?
I guess I think it's got to be a comp.
Just keep PK.
They probably will. They probably will.
Don't overthink it.
They probably will.
Stop trying to play 3D chess. Wait, normal chess would be 3D chess, wouldn't it? Because we're in the three-dimensional world.
I hope so.
Stop trying to play 4D chess.
Okay, there you go.
and just keep PK Subban.
Like I said,
it ain't that hard.
They probably will.
It's not hard. It's not hard.
That's just what
just
I
keep him.
I think it's just
you just keep him, and you keep him.
I think this
and he's your top pairing defenseman. Oh, and you keep him.
Yeah. And I think cap. I think a lot of cap issues would be the reason for it, because next year they also have to re-sign Roman Josi, who's a UFA. And Ryan Ellis' new contract kicks in next year, too, which I believe is over $6 million.
And again, I mean, P.K. Subban at least shows up in the playoffs. P.K. Subban is good.
He is.
He's a top-pairing defenseman.
Yes. He won the Norris Trophy for a reason.
And if he gets traded twice, despite that, just let the second time be here.
I'd be down for that. Very. Subban and Dahlin as a pairing.
Trade Nylander. Nylander and a first. I would do that for PK. The problem is with Nashville. I would easily trade the overall pick and involve that in a package for PK Subban. Easily.
Oh, yeah.
But again, the question is, and then you can move Nashville.
Yeah, and then you move wrist the line over forward.
It's perfect.
Guys, we did it.
We fixed the Sabres. The problem is, what the hell do we have to give up for PK Subban? Sign Jeff Skinner and trade him for PK.
Oh, God.
I'm half kidding. I really like PK Subban.
I do, too. I really do.
You got to be a fool or Mark Bergevin or whoever that other coach was in Montreal.
Michel Therrien?
Yes, that guy. You definitely got to be Michel Therrien to not like PK Subban. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Buffalo hires Michel Therrien.
Dang it! God damn it!
So, yeah, I'm interested to see, though, with Coach Watch there and the latest development about Ristolainen and the Zach Bogosian hip surgery thing. That's fantastic.
UPL also had hip surgery, too.
I'm not worried about that.
I know, just something worth noting.
Because last time we had a goaltending prospect have hip surgery,
Linus
Ullmark happened.
Yeah.
And then he played in the NHL right away because Robin Leonard got hurt.
Yeah.
Dude comes off of hip surgeries.
Double hip. Well, he had double hip surgery,
yes,
too.
Multiple hip surgeries at once. I mean, if that's the way you
I mean, it's
do.
Worth noting because that means it'll delay his start in Rochester.
Yeah. But, again, we thought that with Linus Ullmark, and he didn't even start in Rochester. He started in the NHL.
No, he did. Well, he did
because
start.
Because injury tapped him on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And said, well, Robin Leonard got hurt in the first game of the acquisition
first
of him.
First five minutes of the season.
So you're backing up Chad Johnson, kid. Oh, all right. Super. I didn't have double hip surgery or anything. You saw nothing.
Yeah.
And he played admirably.
He did.
So there's hope.
Yeah.
Granted,
definitely.
Lukanen is not Ullmark, and Ullmark is not Lukanen. No person is ever the same when it comes to recovering from injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But I have hope.
Oh, yeah.
He's a young kid who already has hip surgery. I'm a little worried about that. But
oh, it depends on how he recovers.
It all depends on how he recovers and how he plays from there.
Yeah.
So I think he might be fine when he gets his time in Rochester. Seeing as how he needed the hip surgery, he played pretty damn well, considering.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
OHL goaltender of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Looked really good in his start for Rochester at the end of the season.
Played great in the World Juniors.
Exactly.
Won gold.
Sounds like for needing hip surgery, he did pretty well. For playing on a bum hip, not bad.
Yeah.
Therefore, hope. Hope is a thing. It's dangerous, and I choose to ignore the warning. All right, Frank.
Yeah.
I hate the style of play of the New York Islanders, but I feel like this is the series where I have a no win here. I don't mind the antics of the Carolina Hurricanes. And I think, you know, if it was any other team, I would be in absolute love with this team. I can't say any other team. If Boston was doing their antics, I would hate them nonetheless because of Boston, not because of their antics. And that's why I have to say the same thing about the Carolina Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. I love the antics.
Yeah.
I love the bunch of jerks thing.
Yeah.
I love their style.
Yeah.
I hate that they're Carolina. I hate that it's the Carolina Hurricanes. I hate that I am salty about a staph infection ruining the Sabres' best chance at a Stanley Cup.
Ever.
Well, no, I would say the times they were in the Stanley Cup Finals are probably their best chances. So I wouldn't say ever.
It's right up there.
It's up there, though. It's top three.
Yeah.
And Cam Ward had one good season in his entire NHL career.
Yeah.
It was his first.
Yeah.
I'm still salty. And I hate that it's the Carolina Hurricanes. They've made it hard for me to hate them. But now that they're one win away from the conference finals, I'm remembering the person that I'm supposed to be. A Buffalo fan that should never forgive Carolina for what they've done to us. Beating us in a 7-game series in a game 7 when we're down to our 10th defenseman. And 4 regulars are out.
Yeah, I...
And still only beating us barely in that case.
Yeah, I...
Go to hell. with your stupid things. Back in the day, your stupid things now are kind of fun. And I hate you for that. I hate you trying to make hockey fun because it has to be someone else other than you! It's like the Dallas Stars. Dallas is a 2-for-1 for me. They play boring hockey, get them the hell out, and it's the Dallas Stars.
Well, that's
also
your,
get
that's,
the hell
that's
out.
That's your opinion on that.
Also get the hell out.
I look at 99, I just don't care anymore. Like, I can't hate Dallas for it.
They don't have a legitimate Stanley Cup championship. They broke a rule.
They broke a rule, but they may have broken the rule.
It's like how people give crap to the Patriots for breaking rules and winning Super Bowls. Dallas does not get nearly the same amount of flack, and they should.
Because it's only happened once.
They still did it. If it happened to the Patriots once, we would have never heard the end of it still.
Okay, in that case, though, it's the NHL's job to enforce it, and they chose not to.
Listen.
It's the NHL's fault.
Okay.
It's the referee's fault.
I can still hate them. That's fair.
Sure.
I'm allowed to say, get the hell out of my playoffs.
Sure. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're tied 2 in that series with St. Louis.
You know, St. Louis, I wanted you to lose last round. Not this one.
No, I want them to win because then at least I'd have one of my Final Four teams would be in the conference finals.
You still have a shot at that?
Yeah, I had St. Louis in the conference final. I picked them at the start.
Congrats, that's one of us.
Every other...
My big four all was,
my
other
big three
four
teams
that were, opening round.
My other three teams were knocked out in round one. Tampa, Damn. Washington, and Vegas. Vegas, I picked to win the cup.
I get to add Winnipeg to that.
Yeah.
Fun times! Stupid playoffs. But now the Carolina Hurricanes will face either Columbus or Boston, and that's not a guarantee of beating the Hurricanes. So the worst thing I think for me now at this point might actually be a Carolina versus Dallas Stanley Cup final.
Ugh.
Thank you.
Ugh.
The NHL might have.
Like, that's just
the
gross,
NHL might hate that too.
That's just a gross final. Like,
the NHL might like scream. Like, I might hear screams from their office.
Yeah, probably.
And marketing department if they have to do that. One, it would be funny to have NBC Sports actually try to talk about hockey. Because you wouldn't have much of a choice anymore. Like, the minute the Boston Bruins are out, they're actually going to have to talk about hockey. and we're not going to hear Mike Milbury spewing on something ridiculous about Boston. I swear, I need a shoe. Let him know what he did and how stupid he always sounds on an all-the-time basis.
So let's cheer for teams like Columbus.
Up 2-1.
They are up 2-1 against Boston.
Oh.
In San Jose.
Let's talk about Boston for a second.
Oh, I know what you want to talk about. Go ahead.
I don't get the people that try to defend Brad Marchand anymore. I get that he's on your team, Boston mouth breather, but the guy's an a-hole.
Yeah. That's a fact.
You know what? I'm even going to go ahead and not mince my words here. He's an asshole.
That's a fact.
I hate the guy.
Most, a lot of
because
people
he's a scumbag.
That's a fact.
You'd love him if he was on your team. No. I would hate having to defend his actions on a week-to-week basis because he's gutless enough and scummy enough to go ahead and just punch a guy in the back of the head for no reason other than just to be a scumbag. And that is the word I'm going to keep using here, is scumbag. I've had enough of it. The slew footing, the stupid clipping. The guy is a dirtbag and an asshole. I don't wish injury on people many times or ever. I think that it's stupid to go revenge shot on someone. I think it's archaic and dumb. But Brad Marchand continues to ask for it. And the real shame in all of it is he is a really good hockey player.
Yeah.
But he chooses.
He had 100 points this year.
To be a scumbag.
Marchand had 100 points.
Yeah, and nobody knows that.
Yeah.
Because he's an asshole. And you're an asshole if you defend him.
See, this is all in the NHL.
This isn't all on the NHL. You want to know why?
The NHL can tell.
Don't be an asshole.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but obviously.
As simple as that.
It's kind of hard to tell an asshole to not be one.
I get that, but sometimes you see it happen. Matt Cook stopped being a dink. Actually learned how to play hockey again. It kept his career going. After instead of trying to maim players, he would just play hockey.
Outlier. It's an outlier, but I agree.
It's simple.
But I think what...
And we just talked about it with Dallas and that rule that they didn't enforce. There's a constant here. Yeah, the NHL sucks with that sort of stuff. A beautiful game gets ruined by a garbage league.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
garbage commissioner.
So that idiot who doesn't know what CTE is and links to that with concussions, I can't bank on him making sure that the right things are done. You know what I could do? I could just call the one guy a scumbag. Call a spade, and
yeah,
hope that he never plays hockey again for some ridiculous reason. I still wish injury on somebody, and I hate that I'm still virtuous like this. But I'm not going to feel bad if something does happen to him. Because you bring it on yourself. And guess what? There's someone that you could turn to in Buffalo with this sort of stuff a couple of years back. Pat Coletta.
Yeah.
People say, oh, you love having a guy like Pat Coletta on your team. No. When he did those stupid things, I wasn't defending him.
When you got himself
suspended. I was pissed at him.
Yeah.
If Brad Marchand was a Buffalo Sabre.
You're hurting your team doing that.
Well, Marchand gets away with enough things at this point. I still wouldn't defend him.
Right.
I would still say, I hope you get suspended. I hope they have to sit your ass down. I am embarrassed to be a fan of this team if you're going to keep doing things like that. It's embarrassing. Oh, it's just hockey. It's old school. No, it's not. He punched a guy in the back of the friggin' head.
This is dumb. Like, there's no reason for him to do that.
You're losing.
Otherwise,
that's the reason he did
being
it.
Otherwise, you're just to be a dick. Like, he not only not only punch Clendenning in the head or like shove the back of his head, whatever.
No, he punched him.
Yeah.
He punched him.
He also skated away right after. He did it and then skated away.
Boone Jenner barely caught it.
Yeah.
And wanted to go after him, but he was tied up with Bergeron.
But that's why it needs to be. I know you cannot trust the league to do something about it, but you have. But somebody has to tell them that something needs to be done about that. He shouldn't be. The thing is, it's hard to suspend Brad Marchand for punching Glendenning in the back of the head like that. It's hard to suspend him for that.
Why not? It's
However,
you just fine him. We got video evidence of you doing that.
Just fine him. Give him a fine.
What's a fine going to do?
And tell him.
What the F is a fine going to do?
If you tell him, we're going to fine you, we're not going to suspend you, but the next time you do something stupid, like something like, it doesn't have to be on that level, it's anything stupid again,
this dude
you're getting suspended. It's...
Which not only is gross, but a terrible... A terrible invasion of privacy, disgusting on all levels, and just really still gross.
It's more so just gross. It's more just gross. Like, ugh. I forgot he did that, too.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That was a year ago.
I know. It was. Around this time, too.
Second round, Brad Marchand is the worst. First round, Nazem Kadri's the idiot.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
But you see
actions.
The NHL do something about that. You see them. He makes a questionable hit. He gets suspended for the rest of the series.
That was not
do the same thing to Marchand.
Yeah.
Just do the same thing.
You have video evidence of him doing this. Why not suspend him?
Yeah. Just keep tacking on more games each time he gets suspended again. If he still doesn't get it, at some point the Bruins are going to be like, we can't keep this guy. He's just going to keep getting himself suspended. At some point. And that's a Bruins problem, not an NHL problem.
It is an NHL problem.
Right, it is an NHL problem, but when the Bruins finally say, hey, we can't keep this guy anymore.
Because one of their more talented players is a dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's their problem. And they need to police it correctly, but they never will.
That's the problem. That's why it's...
And that's a problem.
Yeah, it's an NHL problem. It's a giant NHL problem.
It's all stupid. All of it's stupid. Brad Marchand, you're stupid. You're a dick.
He keeps suspending him. It's either going to go one of two ways. At some point, he finally realizes that he can't be doing that stuff anymore, and he cleans up his act. Like Matt Cook. Or he doesn't get it.
Matt Cook revamped his game.
Or he doesn't get it, and he keeps doing stupid things, and the Bruins are going to be like, hey, if you keep doing this stuff, we can't keep you anymore.
Like, and the dumbest part of all of this is Brad Marchand off the ice does a lot of charitable things.
Yeah.
He enjoys taking on the fight with the LGBT community. You see a lot of the promotions with him with that sort of stuff when the NHL with Hockey for Everyone.
Yeah.
But you're a dick.
You're still doing stupid things.
And you're also a talented player. And dick.
No one can take away what he does off the ice because
just go into the brain of Brad Marchand, the first sentence I would say is stop being a dick. That's it.
Yeah.
Because his edge on his game does not help him score more goals.
No.
As a matter of fact, it probably brings him more attention for being a dick.
It probably hurts his chances of scoring more goals.
Oh, my God. He could actually be better. If people weren't going after
if he was on the ice more often, instead of doing the dumb things and taking penalties
or suspensions,
yeah,
oh my God,
yeah,
he'd actually be better,
yeah,
because then people wouldn't go after him all the time for being a dick,
yeah,
so he'd have less attention, he'd be open more.
He's on one of the best lines in the league.
He's already open enough.
Yeah,
he could be open more.
Yeah, he had 100 points this year. He could have more.
We could fix Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
If he ever just followed the words and the advice of don't be a dick.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can have a rat face all you want. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah. Also,
I'm not face shaming anybody.
Actually,
I'm personality shaming.
I don't want Marchand to score more points because he plays for Boston.
I mean, true, but would you rather?
True. Yeah, absolutely. Like,
it's a would you rather kind of thing.
Yeah. What's funny too is Chris Johnson of Sportsnet wrote a piece titled "Bruins Need Brad Marchand to Turn Frustration into Offense."
Oh, stop being a dick.
For Brad Marchand, the Bruins coach, Bruce Cassidy, is asking for a more disciplined approach.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the coach is kind of telling him, hey, stop being a dick. We need you to score. Just because you're pissed off because you're not scoring doesn't mean you should be punching people in the back of the head.
Yeah. That's why he did it. He was mad.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it. Don't have to explain it or defend it. You know he's just pissed. He's not getting it done. He's mad. And he takes his frustrations out
by punching people in the back of the head.
By being a dick.
Yeah.
All right. We kind of didn't care about any filters here with this one, did we?
Nah.
Welcome to the new version of the Leftovers podcast. I don't care anymore.
This is the part where then...
This is the podcast.
This is the part where I would have a swear word and you would actually beep it out because you do kind of care. We don't care anymore, but...
Look, man, if you don't want to give a anymore, that's okay. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
I mean, we did accidentally call it the Leftovers podcast the one time.
Yeah.
So there was that.
There was that.
But what else do we, like, again, Brad Marchand, you suck. You really do. I hate you and you can go to hell alongside Rex Ryan. And yes, I will never let that one go either. Rex Ryan can forever go to hell. All right, Frank.
Yes.
I think we're done here.
Think so.
Back on Monday. We've got Kyle Powell back.
Yeah.
We'll be back to being the three-man tandem. And I think we'll try to curb our emotions a little bit more here. Maybe we won't. I don't know. It's a podcast. We don't have to worry about these things. But we'll curb it back a little bit at the very least. Right?
Yeah.
Probably a good idea. Brad Marchand just got to stop being a scumbag. People got to stop being scumbags. Don't be a scumbag. This is Leftovers Podcast. Eric Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
We'll talk to you next time. Don't be a scumbag. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.